Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin. We are so grateful for Dr. Derek David Kuhn opening the airwaves for us tonight in Behold Your God. And that's a word of the Lord for all of us, that wherever we are, behold your God. His name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is God with us. His name is above every name in the heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. And at the name of Jesus, we are declaring tonight that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. And so we behold that God who is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the Blessed One. We behold him as El Roy, the God who sees, and the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. That's why when Dr. Derek sings, behold your God, look at this God that we serve. His name is El Elyon, the Most High God. His name is El Roy, the God who sees. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Behold your God. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And I really believe when we begin to behold God, you see, when Jesus went to the cross, all the names of God, all the attributes, all the power, and those names of God went into the spiritual realm and came down in one name, Jesus. And so, Yeshua, whatever you call him, he's the God above all gods. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. So when we behold who he is in our lives, we see him as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is here, as Dr. Derek sings, behold your God, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. We see him as Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of hell. We see him as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Behold your God. His name is Wonderful. It's Counselor. It's God with us. And so we just welcome you tonight as we come to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. We ask you to behold your God. And as you listen to Dr. Derek, he says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And so we want to decree that over you tonight, where you are. Let God arise wherever you are. Let his enemies be scattered all around you. Let his enemies be scattered in our lives, in our affairs, in all the things that God has put our hands to. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And then he also closed with, he will speak peace to his people. And we decree that we are his people tonight, and that the Lord will speak peace to us as we gather together around the globe, hearing the word of the Lord. We come to you again, continuing with our study on the book of Matthew. But before we continue, let us hear from Prophet Dean Mitchum, We want to bring him on and let him sing a new song for us tonight, something that's a little different. I believe we can still get it, get him up. Birth something new in me. I think we need to let the Lord birth something new in us. If we can hear from Prophet Dean Mitchum from Christian International. I'm not sure I'm hearing him.
I lay down my life like a seed to be sown. I give up myself so that others may grow. I lay down my heart before you, my precious Lord. I lay down my dreams. All that I plan, I die to myself and yield to your hand. I fall to the ground, Lord, birth something new in me. Jesus, I give my heart. Thank you.
Prophet Dean Mitchum for his wonderful ministry of the psalmist, the prophetic worshiper, the prophetic psalmist. We just love him so much. I don't know, many of you will be hearing him. He's coming to Wisconsin to be with me. He's going to be with me as I observe my birthday during the month of May, and I'll probably just mention this briefly. Some of you will be hearing more about this. During the month of May this year, I will be observing my birth month. I'm not celebrating, I'm just observing it, as the Lord comes forth and brings forth different ministries and ministers, as I am so grateful to bring people that I haven't seen for many years that was part of my life all during these years. We are setting aside a weekend just to spend time and enjoy the Lord with them. The 13th and the 14th of May, we'll be having what we are called, it is the time that I'm calling forth kingdom sons. I have sons who said they were my sons and they're kingdom sons, and they will be celebrating with me. And I'm also, at that time, we'll have Apostle Joanne Fumby and my Repentance and Remission Network from Atlanta and Alabama coming for that one to bless us with the ministry that weekend. And then the 20th and the 21st is our school weekend, and we are calling forth students and former students and teachers that were part of our school of ministry for the past 20, 30 years. We hope that as many as still can hear from us will come and observe what the Lord is doing. We'll also have Prophet Susan Flusher coming that time, bringing a breakthrough kingdom prophetic message and a kingdom prophetic ministry for all of us that are there. And then on the 26th and the 27th and 28th of May, which is the last weekend in May, we'll have Prophet Dean Mitchum and his wife Lisa is going to bless us with worship and praise, and you'll see him in person. Just such a powerful man of God. Just love him so much, and his wife, his precious wife. Last time we talked, and he said, when I come back again, Lisa must come with me. And, of course, we are still waiting for him to bring that testimony. Maybe he'll bring it when he comes. The testimony of how his father gave his life for family and how that family has really been a blessing musically all around the world. And so you'll be hearing more about that, but that's not what we're here for tonight. I want to talk about what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today and asking you to please listen very carefully to what he wants you to do with what he is saying. We have been walking through the book of Matthew, looking at what Jesus taught when he was on earth. In looking at Matthew, as we stepped into Matthew, it was like there was a preparation time for him to come. John the Baptist did that. John opened the way and said, prepare ye the way, the kingdom of heaven is hand, repent and be and enter in the kingdom. And then right after that, Jesus shows up and he goes to John and asks John to baptize him. And John said, I should be baptizing, you should be baptized. In me, no, this is God. He recognized him as God. And so you're the one to baptize me, not I baptizing you. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, that we can fulfill all righteousness. And from that time, Jesus comes on the earth as boots on the ground. And I think it's like boots on the ground to us. He is looking at his church today, at his believers today, at his saints today, and he is saying, I am bringing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I'm bringing the kingdom to you, regardless of who you are, regardless of what denomination, what age, what color, what culture, I'm bringing the kingdom to you. And so as we read the Gospel of Matthew, it is like reading the today's paper. It is certainly so much better than looking at today's news, but it is so much alive as it comes into our lives. We heard the word of the Lord from in Matthew as he taught us what the difference was in the law and the difference in the spirit. And he was calling us into the spirit. So he was calling us to a heart ministry. When he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed is the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then he says, let those be attitudes are so much alive and so needed for us to give attention to step into, to live them out today, because we have come so far away and have learned so much about the Lord, so we're not living much. We have learned how to activate certain things, but what this heart ministry that Jesus brought to us in Matthew, I think we certainly needed to be reminded of it. He taught us in Matthew how to pray. He taught us how to give. He taught us how to give no thought for tomorrow, but to the kingdom of heaven, but to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added. And then he taught us not to judge. I mean, he was speaking to our hearts, and he was telling us that the kingdom, I have come to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom means that I want your heart to receive what God requires of and what the kingdom is like in heaven. And so all of his teaching teaches us how to live today, teach us how to walk today, teach us how to work today. So let's think of what we read in Matthew. The Lord is speaking directly to us. It is a lesson in us, in it for us. It is not a lesson to learn the letter of that lesson, but to learn this, to enter into the spirit of that lesson. And tonight, there's such a powerful spirit for us to consider. It's almost, you know, as I read through this scripture, and I'm up to chapter 10 in Matthew. If you've not heard the lesson that the Lord spoke to us in the other chapters, you can certainly go to my archives, Blog Talk Radio, Universal Kingdom Church, the Firstborn Online Radio, and you can pull it up there all on demand going back as far as 2014. And we started Matthew this year. Late last year, but you can always find them and download them and listen, because I think it's so applicable for us today. And reason is applicable when you read these scriptures and think as Jesus is speaking directly to us, and there is something he is telling us to do, to know or to enter into, not to know just to have it in our understanding, but to enter into it. And I think each chapter brings us there. The last two verses of chapter 9, he said, then says he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I think that is so needed today. Now, you might have many preachers, many teachers, and many people say, God has called me to the ministry. But listen what this says. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, you see, because so much, and this is not a critical judgment, it's an observation, so much of the work that we do, I believe at one time when the 5-4 ministry took on power and began to be activated in the church, and the church was coming into a place to prepare for the kingdom, and ministries rose up around all types of paraministries. Some paraministries became church ministries, and church ministries, of course, began to grow. But it ended, and in so many instances, I'll say, the ministries became a place where the learned could learn more, where people could find refuge, not refuge from the world, but refuge so that they could find a place where they could go on a regular basis, but not enter into the place to go into the highways and the byways and save souls and enter into his harvest, bring in his harvest. And so you had so many people, and you, so, this is not a judgment again, it's an observation, But if they went to a church to be taught and to enter into a time of worship, something would happen, and then they would leave that church and go to another church, and then they'd be there sometime for a while, and they'd leave there looking for the church. And so if you go into some of the churches now and ask a person where did they come from, they can list the many of churches they've been in, and that's fine. Maybe each church had something to teach them, but did they come for the purpose that our salvation called us to be ones that that can go out and bring in souls, go into the cities, into the byways and the streets, and win souls to Christ. Now, I know that and really believe that there's a serious time when the evangelist came on the scene, the pastor, you know, and then we had the prophets coming, and we had the evangelists and the apostles. I believe that there was a time to prepare the saints for the harvest. I believe the harvest is almost upon us. I believe that the revival is surely to come, and it's going to be a worldwide revival. It's not going to be just a church revival so the people in the church can be blessed more another time, but there will be souls coming out of the world trying to find a place to go, saying, what must I do to be saved? And the ones in the church, are they then ready to work with the ones that are coming in and recognize that they're coming to learn about Jesus, that they want Jesus. They don't want more knowledge for this particular denomination of what they're doing, but they want Jesus. And so as a result of that, I believe that's what Jesus was saying. And then he gives us an example right in the next few verses, and that was so interesting to me, in starting out with chapter 10 of Matthew. Here's what it said. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now, don't miss the progression of the Word of God, with Jesus being boots on the ground, teaching us a very valuable lesson. Remember, he called the disciples. He said, follow me, back in the chapter, I think it was chapter in Matthew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he chose them, all right? He called them, and they followed him. After he found that he had a following, people that wanted to hear what he had to say, then he positioned himself in chapter 5, and then he began to teach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, although it says the multitudes came and he taught the multitudes, it was after he got his following of those whom he called to follow him. He literally was teaching them, but the multitudes came to hear. Now, it could be a lesson for our churches today that there may be a few, maybe 7, 8, 9, or 10 in your church that the Lord has called to build up, that many may come. They may not come. They may come just to hear what's being said, but at the same time, God chose the ones that he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, he was preparing them. I want you to watch what happened, because when he said that, and then he positioned himself to teach them, but as he taught them, he taught the crowds. But something else happened. He came on the scene and he healed every manner of disease and all torments. He showed who he was and what he came for. Then when he said to the ones to follow him, they were there with him, and they were what he was and who he was imparted to them. It was imparted because when he called them, they made the commitment evidently because they followed him, all right? And so God, I'm sure he was testing to see whether they were going to stay, because he knew who they were, but he also knew what was in them. But at the same time, they followed him, And I would believe that almost all that he taught and all that he did, although the crowds got it, and many of them probably became disciples, learners, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but the ones he chose, he was preparing them for greater work. He was preparing them to take the message of the gospel that he was teaching to where he was going to send them. And so they were more than just followers then. They became his disciples. And so let me go to this, to the second verse of the 10th chapter. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Remember, these were the disciples he called. But look at something that happened here. I always stop my people when they start reading the Word of God, and they read it like they're reading a newspaper. That means that they don't look at the words and try to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in the words. Because there was something here you needed to watch. In chapter 10:1, he says, he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Chapter 2, he said, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Have you ever stopped to question why the name was changed in from one verse to the other? Are they the same? Well, if you know your Bible and you don't know your Bible, you should ask that question. If you know your Bible, you'll know that something happened. You see, each of the gospel writers wrote from their standpoint, and they were telling the same thing. But sometimes one would give you more detail than the other. And the detail was important here. If you were to turn to Luke, this shows up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but if you were to turn to Luke, the 6th chapter, the story is so interesting how Jesus chose the 12. He called them as the disciples. A disciple is one who is a learner, one who will sit and study and learn and sit at the feet of Jesus. They were there with Jesus wherever he went. So they became disciples. I'm going to go to a book I wrote in a minute. I'll say it a little differently. But the apostles as one sent by God with a special message that he wants to turn something back to him or establish something for the kingdom. Sometimes people are called apostles just because they establish a church. That may or may not be, they may be doing a work that an apostle of being sent to establish something. But listen to this very carefully and get it in a deep understanding of this. I think sometimes, as I've seen in many instances, people establish a church or a ministry because of the need of the people and because the people they believe that the people want what they have, and that's good. And you can say, even when one does that, that God has established something for the kingdom. Not always. He probably called the person to establish for the kingdom. But if you don't see God's eternal purpose inextricably interwoven into that call, it will not have a material effect on the kingdom, because the message sent may be just to help the people in their situation, but will it change the people for the kingdom? And so maybe I need to leave that alone there. But let me go to Luke to look at what he does there. In Luke, the 6th chapter, the 12th verse, it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, am I starting at the right place? Well, I just want to make this point about the difference between the apostles and the disciples. Listen at this, and 13th verse, Luke 6. And when it was day, he called them to him, his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now listen to the name: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, and he lists them all down. Some people want to clearly make a difference. Why did he list Peter first, and why did he list Matthew and Thomas? I'm not looking at that. There's something else I looked at, and I want you to look too, because it has an impact on how God chooses people to carry special messages. It also has an impact on people calling themselves apostles and prophets when God has established them as that. They may still be disciples. They may be saints, but there's nothing wrong with being a disciple nor a saint, because everyone has a special place in God's kingdom work. But anyway, here's what he said, what we look at. I thought it was interesting. He had called the disciples. This is Luke's talking about it. He'd called the disciples, and they'd been with him, and they saw him heal, and he taught them. But then he goes out and he prays all night long to his Father. Why does he pray all night before? Then and the scripture says, then he comes back and he names them. And so you see, it wasn't a quick decision, although they had followed him. Many people follow you or be part of your ministry, but he knew that he had to seek his Father to find out which ones he could send on this special mission. He could establish to be the sent ones, not just the one who were learners, but the sent ones. Some people go out before they are sent by God. Some people go out before they have been learners under someone. They have learned through their reading, through their watching, through their, but to be sent, they must have been with Jesus, not just to learn what he teaches, but to receive the impartation. That is a lot different. I have many, many people that have been with me in Ben Bard, but very few have received that impartation, because the impartation comes from the Spirit of the Lord that will enter in to bring a person into a spiritual place to fulfill what that one is imparting. And let's look at two things. He went out and he prayed. Then he named them apostles. Over in Matthew 10, it says, and of his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are, and you see, when Matthew was writing, evidently this had already occurred, and so he just mentioned that he called the disciples, because Matthew was talking about the disciples up to this time, and in his writing he said, and these are the names of the apostles. And so if you just read over that rather quickly, you would not have gotten the deep truth of how God took time to determine whether he should name them apostles. And that when he called them to him, and in Matthew here, he had really given some special work to bring them to the next level. And so as I read that, and that may not make sense to you, but it made sense to me, because the reason it made sense, so many people call people, and I have said this, pastor, apostle, prophet, and we really don't know how sacred those titles are. And they literally should be given by God to a person, through a person that has been in a position to release those type of titles. Because with the titles come a blessing. And with the titles, not a blessing for the person, but it becomes a charge to keep given by God. And the person who has been given that charge has a charge from God to make sure that the right person is carrying that title. For example, remember Jesus went to pray all night to his Father before he put the charge on these disciples to go out. You know, I thought something very interesting happened to me. I had someone to call me and to write to me and say, Dr. Young, I'm going to do this lesson from your book that I got from Sanctuary, and I think it's a really great ministry, and I know the Lord is calling me to this ministry, and I'm really going to get into this book, and I'm going to do it. And I said, great, that's what I wrote the book for. And so I said, but you know, God gave me some direction, And I learned this early in my ministry, that when God takes someone's life and causes them to die out to what they want to do, to put something forth for the kingdom, when you pick it up, you have to die out too. And the best way to die out is let the person or do something with it, that you go through a process that they went through. And that is a process with Jesus. Anyway, I wrote the person back and I said, that's so great. I love that. And I do have a way for people who come into the sanctuary and they really want to enter into the ministry of the rooms there. And I probably never see them. They live far distance from me and they really are in another province, of a distant state. And they'll say to me, well, would you pray for me for this, or would you cover me as I do it? And I said, you know, the Lord gave me an independent study sheet that I send to people, so that as you work through this and you let me know what the Lord is saying, I can pray for you for that. And I was just taken back when the person wrote back and said, I'm sorry, the Lord didn't tell me to do it that way, that you have the sheet to do it. He told me another way, and I'm going to do it my way. And I said, that's fine, but I didn't tell you it was anything to do it any different way. I just said, let me know what the Lord is saying to you. But immediately, what the Lord said back to me about this is this, is that you really, when you impart something, a blessing upon a person, you make sure that they're ready to carry it. And so with that thought in mind, I went back to two books that I wrote, and I didn't even know what I was writing. And this is taken from my Holy Ghost and Fire book. And I talked about the apostles then, and I talked about this book on the Holy Ghost and Fire is really our book about what it takes to become an apostle. But because Jesus took the apostles to the guest chamber, the Lord brought his 12 apostles into the upper room. And just note that many are called, but few are chosen by God, because he knows what's in man. And so the Lord called the 12 apostles himself when he first began his ministry. And these 12 believed and continued with him. Although Jesus called the 12, he did not choose them to be apostles immediately, but because they believed and they continued with him, he did not choose them to be apostles just because they continued either. Note, he prayed all night. He got the word from his Father who to make an apostle. And that's why it's so dangerous when we make people, when we ordain people or commission people to do something that God didn't tell us, or we commission them because we know them or what have you. Because the 12 apostles believed in Jesus, recognized, now listen to this, and this is so key, recognized who he was and chose to continue with him, they moved from being disciples to becoming apostles. If anybody got my Holy Ghost and Fire book, this is on page 55. The Greek word for disciple is machetes, M-A-C-H-E-T-E-S, which means a learner, to learn. The Greek word for apostle is apostles, meaning one sent forth. When one enters into the ministry of the apostle, and when one moved from being a disciple to becoming an apostle, for this call to be fulfilled, one needs the full power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Ghost book is our book for apostles. Now, listen at this. Let me go back to Matthew 10. Jesus demonstrates this. The words of the scriptures tell us what is written there, that after he named it the 12, verse 5 says, the 12 sent forth, and these 12 Jesus sent forth. Now, that is why you want to be careful that Jesus sends you to do a particular thing. Don't let the needs of the ministry, or the needs of people, cause you to decide what ministry to have. Please don't let people telling you or asking you or wanting you to minister to them or to do this for a ministry that they feel a need for be the deciding factor. That's why you need this time not only to be a follower of Jesus, but to stay with him and live in his presence, that he can impart to you who he is. And then when he sends you, he sends who he is, the spirit that he carries, rather than just your going by knowledge. I wrote of that in my little book called The Inner Court Ministry with Christ, the Master Teacher, and the School of Prayer. And it says preparation for kingdom intercession. Here's what I wrote in that book in the first chapter. Welcome to the Inner Court Ministry. A call to the inner court, to the inner life, a life spent dwelling in the presence of the Lord with Christ, the Master Teacher, and the School of Prayer in preparation for a power-packed kingdom of God work undergirded with a powerful priestly prayer life and a work for the Lord. Now, that's in my book on the inner court ministry. Look at what Jesus did in Matthew. It's almost fulfilling that. First, after he called the apostles, and then here's what he says. He said, now, he sent these 12, verse 5, go not unto the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go ye first into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Two things happen here. First of all, Jesus tells them where to go. Jesus tells them very strategically where not to go. And then he told them what to do. Now, I want to come back to something else. Jesus first went to his father and asked his father who they were. I want to say to ministers who's with the authority to release people into their calling, into their charge, you need to really have had a life in the presence of the Lord, but you also need to see that there are two involved here. First, God the Father who sent Jesus, and Jesus then sending them. So many people will feel that I can pray and I can go to the Lord and he'll tell me what to do and I'll do this. And they don't want to spend any time under one who has the authority, and even if they do, they get upset if that one doesn't immediately put them in the ministry that they believe Jesus has given them. It's a difficult thing to understand, because this is a spiritual life, a spiritual work that only the Father can lead one to do. When one starts doing it as friends, as family, as one that has been with them and they're their sidekick, we say sometimes, that is not why we release them into their calling. The Lord gives us gives us what to do. I'm going to give you a very serious case that happened with me, where I really had cried for many years to the Lord for him to send along a man that I could be a part of the ministry with me, and then I would be certainly know that this was, one he sent. And I prayed many, for years, and some came, and I thought that was the one, and I worked with him very closely, and because I know I was sent. Okay, I don't have to wonder about it. I can tell you about my calling and how God released me into the apostolic ministry and into the office of the apostle. I don't have to apologize to anyone for that. And so I cried to the Lord. I wanted so much that a man come alongside, because I'm a woman, and I just believe that people have this tendency to believe that if this is a man there, I will submit. This is what I thought. And so I cried out to it, and I tried so often, so many times, even when my son joined the ministry and got saved beautifully. I said, oh, thank God I got, someone that will stand with me. And I've had other men to come that I work with, and then sooner or later they would leave. And so finally I'd given up, and I asked the Lord one day, when are you going to send a man to this ministry? Because the world is looking for a man to be here. And he said, I've sent you the one who's supposed to stand with you. And I said, but I don't see them. And I began to name all the men who had been standing with me and left. And I said, do you want me to call them back? He said, no. The one that's been with you for 13 years, have your DNA, knows your ups and your downs, and know also how to release from this house what I have put in them because they've been in this house. And I said, well, I don't know, Lord, because I don't see a man. And he says, not a man. And that's how the Lord, and I said, for a long time, I was serious about really not wanting to release a woman. But it was Pastor Cheryl Lee. She had been with me for 13 years. Not only was she with me, She didn't come to learn. She was there by design from God. And what I did, she did not question it. She just knew that God was sending her there, and God confirmed it. And so it was the way that we always, you know, a lot of people will question leaders and say, why is this one having so much movement in the spirit when I can do better, or I have more to offer, I have more experience, I'm older, I'm more educated. I've seen that come and go. And this is a good lesson for us. Jesus had been with the 12. He called the 12. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? Then when he called them, he told them what to do. He told them where to go, and he told them to whom to go. Now, it's interesting that he told them to go to the house of Israel because of the fact that although Israel by this time had lost so much of what God wanted them to have, God had not forgotten them. So he sent them, and sometimes the Lord says this to me, and remember he said in John, I sent him to his own, and his own received them not. And usually when you're sent to someone who's nearby, who's common to you, are common to them, they don't see you. They don't see who you are. I'm sure the Israelites did not see those 12 of having been with Jesus and having received from him what was needed to open the way for them to come to the kingdom. I'm sure, as you can see from the scriptures, many are lost because there was a time when they walked away, when Jesus said, unless you forsake your father and your mother and even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. And many walked away. And Jesus looked at those 12 and said, where will you go? And Peter said, where shall we go? You have the word of life. And so after he did that, then Jesus began to do something else with his. When Jesus sends us, when we have positioned ourselves to do it his way, he then performs who he is, and because they had been with him and they had received of his spirit, now he gives them the power to take that out. Listen to this, verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And really and truly, they had seen him heal the sick, but now he was putting that upon them, because when he sends you, he gives you power to fulfill what he sends you to do. So often we'll pick up ministries because we think there's a need or someone else is doing it. And the power may not come upon that ministry because that's not what he sent for. I'm learning something about that. The Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, when you spend all of your life writing what I tell you to write in your books, which are clearly written for how one can enter into that ministry and take it to someone else, then when someone goes out to do their own ministry and pick up some of yours and put in it, then the power that that ministry that you wrote about and intended for it to carry, it loses momentum because they're not carrying it what you wrote. For example, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, because that's what he had done. So he puts the power upon them to do that. If anyone reads many of my books, I talk very seriously about healing the inner man. I talk very seriously about childhood hurts. I talk about the broken heart. I talk about all of those things. And they are so clearly written, and I even draw the pictures, if you've never seen one of my books, that shows you that. So someone reads it and tries to do it. But this is the other thing about it. If they do it the way that it's laid out, it's all very clear. If someone says, I want to use your book in my prayer ministry, I said, I have guidelines. Would you want me to send you copies of the guidelines? Because in the first place, my guidelines especially say, you're not to teach the material. because you can't teach it. It is supposed to be done in such a way that the people will have their book in and you guide them through it. But if you get up to teach it as though this is what you've learned and this is where you're coming from and this is what God is saying to you and this is it, you lose the power of the way it was intended to change the lives of the people. See, everything, every scripture has a purpose. When Jesus sends, he had a purpose for sending the disciples, the apostles. He wanted them to heal the sick. He wanted them to cleanse the leper, but he sent them where they're to go. Now, there's another lesson there for us. So often you receive deep teaching and training, and you want to share it with the public, and you want to share it with people that don't have it, but you be very careful that you don't want to share it because you want to prove that you have it and you want them to learn it. Jesus must send you. You must be sent to the people who will receive that. The ministry of the people that come into our ministry on a regular basis, especially our students and our church members, what they receive, there's a whole lot more power in their receiving it. And I've got apostles and prophets around the country that I work with, and I've got churches that I work with. They receive it because they are there to take it for the purpose that it was intended. It was intended to change people from the inside out. It is good teaching material, but if you teach it for people to learn this and to know this, but not to change people from the inside out, not to heal the brokenhearted, not to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, because that's what every word I write is about. If you're teaching it so they can learn this thing, so they can know how to do it. And I sometimes hear saints giving unsaved people who have no desire for Christ, who really mock Christ, deep things to do. Give them the spiritual thing that you've learned. That's why they say healing is the children's bread, or deliverance is the children's bread, and expecting them to use it for their practical, natural life. Now, is Jesus a respecter of person? No, he is not. Does he give a thing and he doesn't want others to have it? That's not true. But he also says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. And then he also said Jesus Christ sent to save the lost. And then he says, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to save us. So he said, as many as will, let them come. So it's an open invitation. But if that invitation is rejected and pushed away, then that person lives in a world of darkness. And the spiritual things are from the word, is from the world of light. Now, if they receive the light, if they receive Jesus, who is the light, then you can give them spiritual things. I hear people telling people who are sick how to, things that they've learned that they should do when they get healed. To get healed. But the first thing they need to do is to come to Jesus. They don't give them the salvation message. They give them information that they have learned that they can then use it. This is spiritual. This is very precious. We have something in our vessels that is protected by God himself. And so he wants us to love people enough. He wants us to meet them where they are. He wants us to bring them to him. And if they will not come, he still tells us to love them enough to bring them past for if there is something hindering. But when they reject Jesus, what God has given for the kingdom and for ministers and for believers to bring people into the kingdom, people who reject that, what is of the kingdom will not be of any good to them because it is a power that God operates in their lives. Now, the Lord oftentimes will heal people to bring them in. That's why I think healing is for the church today. that when people come in the church and they are sick and they are sinners, and they hear the gospel message, or they hear the message of healing, and Jesus healed them, sometimes it brings them then to know that God is who he is, and it opens a way for them to come in. But this doesn't always true. Sometimes it makes them hardened sinners. I think we have become so worldly in our understanding of the gospel and of Jesus that we take that which is so holy. And the Bible told us in Matthew, do not put your pearls before swine, because they will rend you. Well, what happened, we put this is a pearl. This salvation, you need to want others to have it. But what is the salvation? This salvation is not the information that you've learned about God for yourself. It is to bring mankind. Jesus says the last verse in the ninth chapter, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, because he knows those who are coming to bring people into his harvest, not coming to bring them to them or to their church or to a deeper understanding. You see the relatives. I have relatives that I see so much I want the Lord to do things for them. And I really want to tell them how the Lord will do it. But I also need to tell them the underlying message should be, come to Jesus. Give your life to the Lord. And you know, when you find that your loved one, those you love so much, won't come, and they have all these issues that keep them from coming, as family priest intercessors, and that's why we need to be family priest intercessors, not those who pray for our family, but those who position ourselves with God as his priests. And since we become his priests, then he can tell us how to win that one to Christ if we can. He may even tell us that one is not ready yet. Stop telling them, or this one is ready now. Go tell them. But that means we have to be in a position in that priestly realm that we can stand before Christ and he can tell us what to do and we will do it. Then he'll do what we can't do. We need to stop prostituting what the Lord has given us as the gospel, trying to sell it for our own benefit. And the gain can be, even if it's not money, just to win person's reputation or their appreciation that we have a knowledge that they don't have. I think this chapter is so rich with what the Lord is speaking to his church today. When he tells them to where to go, and they didn't need to have money to go there, he slips in a message that is so true that a workman is worthy of his hire. And so I'm sending you. Since I'm sending you, you go where I tell you, do what I tell you to do, and I will take care of it. I'm standing at a corner myself in my own life, and I'm really believing that I'm hearing from the Lord that when you do what I tell you to do, the way that I tell you to do, where I tell you to do, I'll take care of you. So often, sometimes, the church will be turned to do things because these are the ones that support, this one is a good supporter, and so I'm going to really want to meet the needs of that one, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, except God wants you to do what he wants you to do. And so that's what he was telling the disciples, which is a lesson that I think the Lord is telling us in here. Now listen to this, what he says. And when you come into a house, salute it. No, let me go to 11. And wheresoever city, a town you shall enter, inquire in it, who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. See, they're coming to a place, and this is when they were itinerants then. And when they got to the city, they want to know who will. Certainly, there are always in every city people that will really be the one God sent you to. I remember Pastor Russell when he came to Whitewater, And when we met, and we met in an odd situation, we were on a ministerial association together, and I just got an invitation to come on the ministerial association. And he tells a story about how he was warned against coming near me because I was from an off-brand place, religion. And so, but he said when he came in, he felt that there was something missing, that he had to find the one that God had sent him here. And so he came to the sanctuary, and he said when he walked into the sanctuary, that was the place he had found an open heaven. And when he and I met and I prayed with him, he said he knew that he was in the right place. He had found the one that was worthy. And because of that and his doing that, we walked together in the city of Whitewater for 13 years. We opened the way for the territorial release that is now spreading around the country. We walked the city. We prayed for the city. We would meet. We would talk. We would pray. We would share. Because God told, let him know where to find the one that was here to do what he was sent here to do. And when he came in, we immediately connected in the spirit. And so there was never any money passed between us. There was no, it was just a blessing, a prayer. The blessing that we had was to see God's word come alive, because God found the one who he was worthy. Now, there were many others. As a matter of fact, he traveled among many. As a matter of fact, he raised up three large churches here. As a matter of fact, he found lots of people here. But we never miss of that connection that opened the way. Every time he turned ground for one of the city, when he turned the dirt over for the first church here where he has 1,000 members, he said, I'm not going to make a move until you come and let's pray together. And I was there. I was there with the Milton Church. I was there with the Jefferson Church. And am I important? No. But God had sent me, told me what to do. And he sent someone who found the worthy one to do what we were supposed to do together. Great lesson in this. He said, and if the house, and when you go to a house, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto it. Now, one of the things in this, you see, God wants his people to be courteous too. And he and that is also a mark of our connection to God. They were not to go in and force their message upon the people, or judge the people, or leave because the people didn't receive it. He said, whoever salutes you, when you go in, you salute them. Then from there they would find out what to do. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, then he begins to warn them, which I think every minister needs to be warned, because sometimes people get a little excited when they start getting misunderstood and they start getting hurt. But the next part of it tells them about that. I'm not going to have time to do that tonight. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. We'll start there looking at that scripture. But what did we look at tonight? We look at the fact that the Lord is saying to the church that those that are learners, that have sat at the feet of Jesus, or sat at the feet of someone who has been given the authority to release, don't be excited until, because you may not be released when you want to. Jesus went and prayed all night. He'd been with these apostles and these disciples for some time. But he came to a place where he went to check with the Father to see, should I release them? Are these the ones? Evidently, the Father gave him permission because he came back and he named them apostles. And when he named them, they were going to be sent to do something for the kingdom. The first place he sent them was the household of Israel, because Israel was who God brought forth out of Egypt. And so he sent them there to give them another chance. And he was saying to them, as long as they go and do what he said do, the way he says it and where he says it, that they did not have to worry about their needs, that they would go into a place, and wherever they would go, then that one who was worthy would recognize who they were and their needs, because a workman was worthy of their hire. And so we're going to finish this. We meet together again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You'll probably find something different in this chapter when you read it. But it really opened my heart up to today. And the reason it opened my heart up, everything I think and I write and I read is all about kingdom. All of my books are about kingdom intercession because I wrote the books, the Lord had me to write them, to bring forth powerful intercessors that could go stand in his presence and he would open the way for the king to come into the earth. And I believe the kingdom is coming by intercessors opening the way, not by ministering the way, but interceding. And even the greatest intercessors are pastors, prophets, evangelists, and apostles. They are not the ones who call the little old ladies in the church, but the one who got a call from God. Jesus didn't call any intercessor to go to the Father to ask about his apostles. He spent all night in prayer himself, and then he comes back, and he not only called them, send them, but he imparts to them the power they needed because they were going to do what he had called, his Father told them needed to be done. He was sent by his Father, and his Father sent him, but he went to his Father to find out whether these were the one. I want to say to pastors and ministers, when you have the authority to release someone to take up a ministry for the kingdom, please don't do it rashly. Oftentimes, I do a lot of praying, oftentimes when you give them the call and you give them something to do that's going to bring them into it, you can watch it. They don't do it. And you know then that's not the one. You'll give them a call. You'll say, would you do this? And something will be sometimes very simple, and they just have to study and pray and get it from the Lord because you've released them that. And they'll come to you later on and say, oh, I think I'll go now, or maybe I'll go. Because, you see, the Lord is testing them and testing, because we as leaders don't always know the hearts of the people, but God knows the hearts of the people. We as leaders don't always know what they're going to do. We do oftentimes, but sometimes we don't, but God knows. And so when we release someone to do something and we think they're the great ministers, and they are, God knows that there's something in them that will stop them short of fulfilling what God has called them to do. And what we see is the call on their lives. What we see is how they have the call and can do it. But what we don't see is that thing in them that God knows that will stop them short of fulfilling the kingdom call that it's going to require. You're going to see that in the other part of this chapter when he told them where they're going to go, what they're to be aware of, and how they're to do it. See, the Lord would know if you were to stop and ask God, the ones that you have been called to appoint for a special position, if you ask God and he says no, or he stops it, maybe there's something in that person that God knows that they can't stand the heat. They might can go this far and that far and do this, and they can minister greatly, and they might can be obedient, they might can learn quickly, but God knows what is in that person that will stop them from fulfilling the eternal purpose of that call that you're putting them into. See, Jesus was sending these people to fulfill not just a divine purpose is what they would do on earth, but an eternal purpose, because these were called to start the church, the same church we're in, with the same power that they were called to start it. And he knew the one, even with Judas, he mentioned Judas, who also betrayed him, but at the same time, he was part of them, but he knew what was in Judas, even so. And so this is a special chapter. It calls for a lot of prayer for ministers and those who are in a position to give people positions in church or in ministries or call them along to do some things. And a lot of people, and one of the things will happen, people misunderstand because they can't figure out, why did you put this one in place and didn't put me, and I know I got more to offer. You might know you got more to offer, but does God know something about you that he knows that you are not going to be able to fulfill the purpose? Why did he call the 12 disciples who were fishermen and didn't go to the scribes and the Pharisees who had much more learning than them. I think the lesson is so applicable for today's church. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and listen very carefully to what he's saying to you. I'm saying tonight, this is Pernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would minister truth to every heart. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your care. What we see in this chapter in the very beginning is that you loved Israel so much that although they had walked away from what had been taught in the wilderness and had been taught through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you still want a call to send the disciples to the household of Israel. You don't want to forget them. You don't want to leave them behind. You want to give them another chance, and that's the way you are with us. Sometimes we fail you in so many ways. Sometimes we walk contrary to what you tell us to do. But we thank you that you are a merciful God and a just God. And so as any of us listening tonight, we ask you, Lord, to be merciful unto all of us. As sinners, according to your loving kindness and your tender mercy, blot out our transgression. Wash us thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse us from sin. What I want to pray and leave the night in the air, everyone listening and even those who pull it up, let this message speak to their hearts. Let them hear what you're saying to the church and for the church. And then let them listen very carefully what you want them to know. Let us bring order back. Let us bring holiness back to the household of God. Let us not put flesh in a holy place, but let us know, Lord, how to keep your ministry holy, how to prepare the way for you to come into the church, and how to prepare the way for you to lead and guide us, how to prepare the way for you to bring the kingdom to us individually as leaders, as ministers, as believers, as saints, and prepare the way for the church to come, let you come and open the way to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we bless you tonight and ask you to bless your people, that as they hear tonight, that they will hear what you say to them about this message, that they will know the truth, and the truth will make them free to follow on to know you. So we bless them tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and our King, who's able to make all grace abound to everyone who listens, according to the power that works in them. We say thank you and good night. Amen.